What's up, iRaiders? Welcome to episode 15 of iRations, The Uplifter. I'm your host, Drake Peterson, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is our weekly podcast. We are here on all podcast platforms every single week to raise your spirits, answer some questions, talk music, talk shop, and of course, talk all things iRation. Last week, we took a week off for our live stream show at Soho and SB, partnered with nocapshows.com, but we are back to releasing a new show each week. Before I bring on Micah Brown and Adam Taylor for the Home Tonight Sample This segment, let's talk some news. I'm sure that if you are a fan of this show, you already know that Coastin is out now. You can buy it, you can stream it, you can order it online to be delivered to your house. It is everywhere, y'all. So treat yourself, treat your family, treat your friends, and we hope that everybody is as happy as we are right now about this album. Last week, we announced on all of our socials that we have rescheduled the Coastin summer tour dates, starting in June of 2021. Yes, we have a whole year to wait, but at least it's rescheduled and we're moving forward. General admission and VIPs are on sale now. You can visit irationmusic.com for all of the dates and ticketing links. If you have already purchased a ticket from the 2020 tour, contact your local ticketing box office and just check what their protocol is for honoring your previously purchased ticket. Today's episode is brought to you by Outer Known Clothing, a clothing brand founded by pro surfer Kelly Slater, where over 90% of their products are made from organic, recycled, or regenerated materials. They are set out to change the clothing industry by building clothing in harmony with the planet and taking care of the people they work with while creating durable and desirable products that stand the test of time. Visit outerknown.com today and for 25% off, use promo code COASTIN. Again, that's outerknown.com, promo code COASTIN for 25% off at checkout. It's now time for Sample This, where we take one iRation song and break it down. In this segment, you will be hearing samples and sound clips from the studio version of Home Tonight, which is track 7 on the new album, Coastin. Joining me today are guitar vocalist Micah Brown and bassist Adam Taylor. What's up, boys?
What's up?
Happy release week, month, whatever you want to call it.
Release life.
Yeah, thank
release
you.
Release life. All right, well, this is one of the most popular songs so far in the first couple of days, and Home Tonight is a daydream about when you'll see your lover again, thinking about all the time you've lost while you're apart and anticipating the feeling of being together again. It's about missing the feeling of being in a bubble together where nothing else matters except being with that person and making up for the last time you've spent away from each other. This is definitely a song you know, that a touring musician can relate to. Is that correct, MB?
Yeah, that's definitely the perspective. But I feel like anybody who travels for work or long distance relationships, anybody who's, you know, doesn't have the benefit or luxury of being with the person they love every day, day in and day out. So I think a lot of people can relate to it even outside the touring musician realm. But yes.
And now everyone's probably experiencing the exact opposite because everyone's stuck with their significant other. Or not stuck, but blessed with their presence.
There's other songs for that on the record.
So, MB, this is the first song that you are the lead singer on. Is that correct?
For the whole song. I've had a few verses and choruses here and there over the last couple albums. But yeah, I think it's cool to have one that's just fully my lead vocal. I know that iRation used to have two lead singers, so it's kind of in the tradition, or sometimes three singers, so it's in the tradition of the band still, and it's cool to be having one finally on the airwaves for the peeps.
Well, congrats. It sounds awesome, and I think everyone enjoys a nice, fresh, new outlook and, you know, version of things, so I think it's good that you're changing up a little bit. Was this something that you initially wrote and brought to the band?
No, this one, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but it was the same week that we were in Santa Barbara where we kind of started Right Here, Right Now beat. We started, I think, Contact High or a couple others. There was like a group of four songs that were pretty early on that were just like rough demos. I can dig them up and we can add them in here. But this one was originally called Paca Loco Moco, was the
right.
Demo title. And it was just an instrumental, and it was Adam's bass line and a slow driving reggae beat, and then just some piano swells, and then I threw that octave guitar lick over it, and it was super stripped and simple, and it stayed that way for a while, but it was something that we all kind of came up with together in the room with Dave at Sound Design.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those ones that was just like what turned out to be the hook, but it was just like that beat. And it's kind of funny, I was thinking about it earlier, but when I played the beat on the piano on the sub synth bass, I tried to go and take it to the bass guitar when we were cutting it, and it was just one note too low for the B string to handle. So instead of going to that low fifth, we went to the higher one, and it was kind of funny at first, but now when it's finished, I really like that it's kind of went to that higher one, because it was so low at first, it didn't really match the vibe of the song as well.
A lot of guitarists will change the tuning of their guitar. Is that something that bassists do ever, so they can get a lower note?
You could, but I mean, it's once you start going lower than the B, you know, some people might argue that you're kind of getting into like the inaudible range where you can differentiate the notes, and it's not really serving the song, I would say, especially for Home Tonight. But then
the
what's
brown
cool,
note.
Yeah, exactly. But what's cool is the second verse. You know, I think we did that one in the studio where, you know, I hadn't planned a bass line for it, like the hook. And I remember just kind of sitting in the control room and the guys all kind of around me, and we just kind of hashed it out, and I just kept doing little variations until everyone was kind of bobbing and swinging, and then we had that second verse bass line, which is kind of like do 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 do. It's a little different than that, the actual hook, and then the first verse, of course, is just kind of is bare, just the vocals and a rhythm.
Yeah, I think what's cool about the song is verse one was originally written first, and then the hook, obviously, and it was empty for a long time. I think even the song was kind of possibly in consideration to work on for the UB40 project that they were working on, because they were trying to recruit us to work on one of their beats that they had, but it was almost made more sense for us to try to bring them a new song. So this one was one that for a second there was like, should this be the one we send to UB40? But ended up, we were like, no, we want to keep it for our album. And I wrote verse two later on, and I just didn't think it needed to be going back to the verse one vibe. So that's why it's like a whole nother cadence and different part of my vocal range. And I think it's a natural lift to the song. And so the bass line kind of followed suit with that, where it's like, you don't want to go back to the same bass line if you're changing it up for verse two. So we wanted the bass line to be more lively for verse two, to kind of follow along with the more wordy cadence and give the whole song as a whole a little bit more dynamic. So I think it worked out well.
There are a few Brazilian bossa nova-esque elements that I was finding in this song when I was listening to it. And I wasn't really, that's not something that I really noticed. I've heard the song a bunch of times, but when I was going through all the tracks, I heard a bunch of little things like the side sticking on the snare, and a lot of your guitar riffs and voicings of the chords were very, reminded me of like Stan Getz and all that. Was that something that was intentional, Micah Brown?
I think just in general, the whole thing had a kind of a more mature vibe musically, even though it's only, you know, two chords really at the heart of it, but there's variations, like you said, and different chords that play over those two movements on the bass line. But I don't know if we were necessarily saying, let's add some Brazilian bossa nova vibes, but it was like, I think just what naturally kind of came out that we were feeling, like those octave guitar riffs were just things that I was just playing as the beat was looping the day we wrote it. And it was one of the first melodies that kind of came out of me just like in the moment. And so I think we all just wanted to follow what the song was kind of leading us towards, which was a little bit more of that mature sound with cool chords and just something unique, like you said.
And do you kind of find that most times you kind of let the song take you to where you feel the song should go, rather than kind of approach it with, like Drake said, the bossa nova vibe? Do you typically try to do it that way or have an intention?
Yeah, I think it depends on if you're sitting on a song for a while and there's no rush. You know, I think for me, a lot of the times sitting on a demo for a while, I'll just let nature kind of take its course in my brain and let feelings or words or melodies come out over time. And that definitely is more conducive to just letting the song kind of dictate itself over time naturally. But if we're in on a crunch, or we like have an idea that we really are setting out to do and we have a specific thing, then yeah, I would say it's more the opposite, where you are focused in on something and you want to achieve that. And I think as a whole, we did that on this album, but individually on certain songs, maybe it was the other way around. So
the drums have a very interesting, there's a kick drum in there, obviously, like, you know, Joe's general kick drum, but then there's almost like a heartbeat for the main kick drum. What's the deal with that?
I think it's just to round out the sound of the kick, just because his natural kick drum has a certain tone, and layering that with like that softer, rounder, lower, subby kind of sound gives the whole kick a fuller range. And yeah, I think sometimes having just that steady four on the floor or halftime kick keeps the song driving, even though it's a slower tempo. It still makes you move more, and I think that's just kind of a subtle thing that we try to do.
Can we talk a little bit about what four on the floor is, Adam?
No.
Four on the floor is basically just when, if you think about a beat as one, two, three, four, every beat the kick is hitting. So the kick being on the floor, it's like a driving thing that you hear in a lot of dance music. And sometimes when reggae artists want to like pick it up and elevate the dynamics, you do the four on the floor and you keep the snare going on the two and the four, and it adds this kind of dancier element. But if half of that would be one and the three, maybe, but it's still the idea of just having that kick constantly, never stopping, whatever that kind of rhythm or tempo is, and having it drive through the majority of the song just to keep the train rolling.
Yeah, definitely lifts. It's a nice little lift. And then especially when the horns come in, it just adds. One thing that was cool about this song is it has a string section, it's one of the handful of songs that uses a live string section. Was this something that you guys had intended on doing from the beginning, or was it something that, you know, King David was like, had a synth on there and then you just decided to change it up a little bit?
I think we wanted to use more instrumentation, like, you know, the brass and strings like that. And I think this one, it just kind of had a feeling that it could go that way. So I think that it definitely complemented the song in that way.
Yeah, I think we knew we wanted to have the orchestral string arrangements and the horns on the album on certain songs. And obviously they weren't necessary or needed on every song, but this was definitely one of the songs that was in the batch of like, yeah, that could really use horns and strings to lift it up halfway through. And even though the demo had the synth swells, and so it was cool that we were able to just go follow along after those and build on top of those with actual real strings.
So back when we were recording No Time for Rest, we were doing a song with Mikey Dread called Generation Time, and he was probably only there for about 30 minutes, but he wanted us to just kind of loop this beat. And it was a four on the floor kind of, you know, reggae style beat. And I think we've been playing for about 12 minutes straight, just looping this beat, Joe and I and Catlin on guitar, Micah. And I just kind of got tired. And I think Catlin just stopped playing. And Mikey Dread comes flying into the booth area and goes, "What are you doing? Like, you don't stop." He's like, "Reggae music is like a train. You never stop." And we both were all just like, "Oh my God, he's right. We've just got to keep this train rolling." So it's just funny. Whenever someone describes it as a train, I always think about being a young greenhorn musician and having a seasoned pro just like fly into the booth and just like scare the wits out of you.
I love getting schooled by like a seasoned person. It's very fulfilling. MB, have you ever been just completely schooled before by like some epic legend?
What's an epic legend? But I think just, I got a lot of my know-how from working at 17th Street Recording Studio. And Louis Richards is definitely he's a legend in his own right in the Southern California reggae rock scene. He's worked with almost every single band that's ever come up through the scene in one capacity or another. And so, yeah, he's definitely has a reputation that precedes him. And I was a young greenhorn the day I walked into 17th the first time, like 10 years ago. And we vibed out musically. He got what I was trying to do. And so he kind of took me under his wing for a few years and showed me a lot of what it means to be to be chasing that attention to detail in the studio and not just being okay with like mediocre takes and not being okay with it sounding pretty good and always just really striving for like the best. And he's really good at getting the best out of you. And so in that way, I think I definitely got schooled along the way. I'm sure there's instances where he pissed me off or like my ego was hurt, but he tends to do that with people that have a thin skin. But if you have a thick skin and you know his personality and you know where he's coming from, like he just wants to make the dopest shit out there in his words, you know? And so definitely learned from him how to just up my game as a session artist and as a recording artist and as a musician in general.
MB, do you remember, and as a performing artist, I think we were at a Hangout Fest, but Preservation Jazz Hall Band from New Orleans invited one of us to come and jam with them. And I think you got elected and you were probably the only one that really wanted to do it. I was scared out of my wits to just jump up blind on bass, but did something like that worry you going up on stage? Were you scared or were you pretty confident?
Yeah, just because everybody in that band is, you know, at the top of their game, whatever that game is. And so I knew stepping onto that stage, I couldn't let them down, especially in a live setting, like at a festival, like Hangout Fest. And I definitely was nervous and listened to the song they were doing and took it seriously. You know, it wasn't like I was just like half-assing it up there. I felt like I gave them everything I was ready to give them, and then they're like, keep going. And I'm like, oh shit, what do I do now? I've laid it all out, so.
I'm done here.
Yeah. But that was a truly, special opportunity to do, and just definitely one of the highlights of any gig I've ever had was being able to jump up with those guys for sure.
Well, boys, this is one of my favorite songs on the album, and I thank you guys for coming on and talking about it.
Thank you, Drake.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Drake.
Thank you, MB. Thank you.
Doctor.
No, sincerely, thank you, guys.
Thanks. No, seriously, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now a word from our sponsor, Kelly Slater, and his clothing company, Outer Known.
I started Outer Known to make clothing differently. Our jeans are made at the world's cleanest denim facility using less water, fewer chemicals, and organic cotton. We guarantee C jeans for life. Now your most comfortable jeans are also your most sustainable. C jeans, social, environmental accountability. Get yours at outerknown.com.
Special thanks to Kelly Slater and everyone over at the Outer Known team. We have been getting a lot of their stuff for our tours for a few years now, and we are huge, huge fans. I personally have about 6 pairs of their jeans, and I wear them on stage every single night. They're very durable, they're very comfortable, and they have all the different colors and all the different fits. Most recently, I just got some of their sweat shorts, which is perfect for quarantine time. You can wear them inside, and if you want to brave the outside, you can wear them to the beach. You can wear them as you're driving. You can walk around town with them. They're very comfortable. Personally, I got the mustard color. Huge fan of them. But check them all out for yourself. They have stuff for men and for women. Check them out at outerknown.com. Use promo code COASTIN for 25% off. Now joining us to celebrate the album release.
Drake, for what is wrong with you?
Get that clown shit out of here.
Take a deep breath, brother.
Welcome, guys.
Now joining myself, MB and Adam, are vocalist Mike Kapush, keyboardist Kason Peterson, and drummer Joe Dickens to help celebrate the release of Coastin. What's up, boys?
What's up?
What up, what up, what up, what up? What's the feedback like so far, Kason?
Well, it's been good. We've been loving it. Loving everybody's feedback. It's so nice to finally get these songs out. Been sitting on them for quite some time now, so feels really good. I think Guava Lane's been getting some good response. Smile. So yeah, loving it. Thanks, everybody.
Push. I heard that Guava Lane's getting some spins in the Big Island. Is that true?
I don't know on the Big Island, but it's getting spins on Oahu. Big Koa, shout out Big Koa. They're spinning it on Oahu. I think it's 98.5 is the station. But
Right Here Right Now is also getting span on 101.9 Star FM on Oahu.
Span?
Boom, Kanani.
It's getting span. Spun? Did I say span? Yeah, okay, spun. Run it again.
It's getting a lot of span.
Yeah, spam sandwich.
It's getting spammed?
Spam?
Span?
See, people are getting
spam. Did you say span?
Spam.
It's span. No, and also right here, right now, is getting spin on...
Oh, just give up.
Spun.
Spun. No, I think it's spun. I think it's spun.
Spun.
S-P-O-N.
It's getting some spone.
Jojo, what was it like to play with some people, play music? How did it feel?
It felt good. It was different. It was difficult for a little bit, and then it started to get better. Haven't really like played drums that much because I don't have access to a big drum set, but it was fun. I'm ready to do it again. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Were there any songs that were like particularly difficult to play, Joe? That
nothing, no songs in particular. Maybe just a couple parts that I just need to practice more.
Poosh, how do you think the live stream went?
I think it went well. I think outside of a few little technical glitches here and there, people just getting their links late and stuff, and not being able to catch the show right on time. I think it went well. I think we played well. That's all we could really control. Being that it was the second ever no cap show, I think that was, it went off pretty well. I think, you know, we had roughly like 7,000 people that were, had tickets, and then like almost like 2,000 more people right at the show start tried to like bombard the show. And, you know, it's like, if you were at an actual show and 2,000 people just tried to cram through the front door, there'd be a log jam. So, you know, there was a log jam apparently. So, you know, it all went well. I thought we played well. I thought, you know, overall it went off.
Do you think we're going to do some more live streams like that, Poosh?
Yeah, I think we're going to do at least two more, probably. but yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool. I thought it worked. I mean, it'd be cool to change it up and go to play in a different venue or even live stream in an outdoor show or something like that would be rad. Yeah, we're in, I mean, there's all the talks about doing the drive-in shows and stuff like that. I think, you know, when we figure out, you know, if it makes sense for us, you know, business-wise to do that, you know, we'll cross those bridges. I mean, we want to play music. That's what we want to do. That's what we do. We kind of leave that other stuff up to the business people.
The suits.
MB, yeah, we had one of the... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think, you know, like if someone had never been to a venue like Red Rocks or something, it's like now with the streaming capabilities, it's like you could stream, you know, from anywhere, like a place like Red Rocks and anyone
or
over
the in the beach.
Or in the beach. Yeah. And then you're over in, you know, Singapore and you can watch it. It's just crazy to think about.
Adam, I like your new Zoom background. It looks like some sort of like chic surf shack Airbnb. Where'd you get that background?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. It's a new Airbnb chic. Be sure to look me up. It's coming on the market
space.
Soon.
MB and I actually got to go check out your new spot, Adam. It's really nice.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Still thank waiting for my box of avocados.
Kason actually just got a drop yesterday or day before. And actually, Jody just popped by for some, didn't he?
I had two avocado trees for like three or four years, and I neglected the crap out of eating them, because when I left my old house, there was like the trees were stocked full of avocados, and I was almost like sick of eating avocados.
Adam, I'll let you know in like 3 weeks when those things are actually ripe.
You got it, but
they're like this big. Yeah.
No, they look like the fire.
They
Haas.
Are the fire. Pro tip, just put them in a paper bag in a dark place.
Oh, damn, this guy knows avocados or what?
Adam Cotto.
He'll be selling them in between live streams on the side of the road in Ventura.
You'll actually, you'll see
avocado.
You'll see me right next to the merch booth set up. So on next time we tour in 2023, I'll have a little avocado stands.
Some tableside guac.
Thank you, Ross Avo.
He was going to have his mortar and pestle waiting. Straight from Oaxaca.
Somebody was asking on the page if we were safe during our live stream. MB, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think we took as many precautions as we could. We had a sanitation station courtesy of our boy Colin Blakely with hand sand, extra masks, and he was taking temperature checks upon entry of the building. Nobody was really congregating in groups. Everybody was wearing masks unless they were singing. You know, we tried to keep a limit on who was actually in the building during the week so that way there wasn't too much going on. So, I mean, it's hard even just having any sort of plan like this right now and getting together. There's obviously going to be some level of risk that we all have to kind of sign up for and just know that, like, it's not going to be perfectly safe as it would if you just stayed home. But at the same time, we have to balance that with like being able to get back to work and do the things that we want to do to put this music out and play live music again. And when do we do that? And so, you know, there's always that calculated risk, but I think we did everything we could to just at least make it as safe as possible for us and our fams. Also, we all isolated for a couple weeks ahead of time too, which was good. So,
Kason, what was your favorite song to play from the live stream so far?
I think Smile is turning out to be a pretty fun song to play live. It's sort of got a different beat than we usually play. It's more kind of rocky, I guess. There's not like a reggae rhythm on it per se. It's more that kind of rocky on the rhythm kind of style. So yeah, I think it's a cool song to play. And I also liked playing Guava Lane as well, which are, as I mentioned before, the ones that the fans are starting to like. So it's cool.
I was saying, it's funny because, you know, I was just kind of perusing through some of the comments around the day when everything dropped off, and somebody was like, on Smile, was like, "This is not reggae. Like, how dare you? And I was like, and then somebody responded, "Imagine gatekeeping reggae in 2020.
That is so good.
I was like, "That's the perfect response, yo. I don't even need
no
to say
need
anything.
To step in."
Yeah,
it's funny because yeah, like we're not gonna please everyone ever. Obviously, like there's always gonna be someone who has an expectation, and obviously the reggae heads who just want straight reggae from every album, they're never gonna be happy with our albums. But it's like we all have personal tastes outside of reggae, and so it's all about kind of fusing them all together and making a new sound that is fresh to the ears for everybody, you know. And I think the fans in our fan base that just love good music always usually appreciate the new songs and the new vibes, but there's always going to be those reggae head detractors, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
We're just trying to make good music, like regardless of what the genre is. Like, obviously there's always going to be a reggae influence and there's a reggae tinge, and like songs like Right Here Right Now, like telling me that's not a roots reggae song, or like Guava Lane, it's not a reggae song, you know. It's like even Home Tonight's pretty much a reggae song, you know, if you understand how reggae works and you play music like we have for, you know, almost 20 years, like you understand that what makes a reggae song and what doesn't. There's a certain rhythm, there's a certain feel, there's a certain bass and drum thing that's happening, and we know all those things. So like when we put out a song, we understand what it is. We understand that it's not, if it's not roots reggae, or if it's more rock or alternative, or it's more pop, or if it's more something else, you know, or if it's a combination of all those things. We get it. Trust me, we know what's going on. All right, we spend a lot of time with these songs. So it's like, don't like, I just feel like there's this whole thing where people have this need to have to fit things into a genre, you know, if it doesn't sit in like the genre that they want. And I remember feeling that way. I remember feeling like some of the bands that I really liked, like I was like, why are they making like rock songs? Why don't they just play like straight reggae? Like I remember being in my 20s and like feeling that way. And so I kind of get where these guys are coming from, but it's like at the same time, we're artists, we've been doing this for a long time, and we're just trying to like expand and try to keep it fresh for us. Like it's, if we just kept doing the same thing over and over again from the first album, we'd just lose our minds probably and probably quit because we're just sick of playing the same thing over and over again. Like we don't want to play Falling every night. Like, you know, it's like we try to find different ways to play it. We try to find different ways to like make it sound interesting, or like, you know, keep it fresh. That's music. Music is meant to be expounded, changed, evolved. It's art, etc.
Sorry. Poosh, have you ever had a heckler heckle you before, Poosh, on stage?
Yeah, I think so. Try to probably block it out.
I got a good one that came to mind. I think we were in
Providence.
Remind me of the city, but
Providence, where Rhode you guys Island. Went to,
no, well, there's one where where you guys went to go see the Blue Angels, and we had a sold out show. I think at
Pensacola.
Pensacola, and that guy had a Pepsi bottle like filled up, but with the cap just loosened. So that when he like tomahawked it at me, it like exploded all over my bass guitar for some reason.
Sick.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. And it was a sold out show. And it was like song two or one that he did it. I was like, cool. Now I've got an hour left to play like this covered in soda.
With sticky bass strings.
Ugh. Epic vibe.
Yeah, how about you guys? Anything come to mind?
That Providence, Rhode Island gig when we opened for Wale and his fans started chanting Wale pretty much the second after we finished our last song.
That was pretty much like a whole band roast at that point. But it was weird because like we actually had some fans there and it was like the crowd was separated down the middle and our fans were all on the left and Wale's fans were all on the right. And I was on the right, or I think I was in the middle or right of the stage. And so it was like, I was just right in front of all the Wale fans and they're looking at me like,
just stone like, cold.
What is this?
Yeah, yeah, like, and then
what are you?
My side was absolutely raging. I remember I was like, "Yeah, this is sick." And then I remember seeing you guys going like, "No."
Was that when Kai was?
Yeah, Kai was still.
I think
in
Kai
the
was
show.
There. Yeah.
So I was like, I remember looking over on that side of the stage, and you, like Adam and Kai are like in the crowd, and they're like, and I'm on my side, and I'm like, and then everyone's just staring at me like. Like dead, like not moving, just dead, looking at, staring at me like this.
And then the chant began.
I was definitely on the Wale side.
Yeah. And then they started being like,
terrifying.
Wale, Wale, Wale. We're like, anyway, here's Time Bomb.
Well, the exact opposite of a heckler sent me a message, and it should have gone to Adrian, Adrian played sax on Zen Island. And this guy sends me this text. He goes, just wanted you to know this. Zen Island horns make me want to f*** my wife like every time I hear it. Poor girl, it plays constantly.
Jesus.
Dude. That guy's a comedian, honestly. That's good. Reminiscent of the Chill Out review where they were talking about how good the sax sounded.
Is it YouTube. Really that hard to like know what an instrument is? I mean, do they all sound the same to people or what?
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Yeah, everybody's a musical nerd, man.
I always tell people Drake is the best tuba player out there.
He's the best flautist.
Fuck you.
Was there any other feedback that you guys want to talk about?
No, I think it's interesting. Like if you kind of look on like YouTube, like or wherever, like the songs that are like kind of getting the most, they're very different. You know, like the songs that people are responding to, kind of songs that we thought like. Guava Lane and Contact High, which we thought they're pretty much on the opposite end of the spectrum musically as far as like our sound goes. And I think that people are really responding to those songs a lot, which is cool. Like that shows that our fans really are open-minded and musically and like able to like go on that path with us. Like, oh, we like, not only do we like a song like Guava Lane, that's kind of like a nostalgic reggae song, but we can also vibe with Contact High, which is more of like a pop kind of banger kind of thing, you know, alternative rock type feel. So I thought it was cool. I mean, that and just all the, you know, I've been getting a lot of really positive feedback personally, like, you know, thank you.
Yeah. And like Smile and Fancy too, they're definitely not reggae rock songs. But they're still Iration songs, and I think people that are open-minded and realize that are really digging them. Yeah, and it's always a risk putting out something that's a little bit more on the edges of our style and hoping people understand that and receive that well. And it's always nice to hear once it's out there that people are loving it.
Yeah, I think Fancy for me was one song where it's definitely on the brink for us, like as far as, you know, is this palatable for an Iration fan, like, you know, kind of how Last Snow was on the last record. And it was nice to see people like when we played, we did the live streams, like immediately when it came on, they were just like, oh yeah, funk, like exactly what we were going for, which was like, this is like a funky, like kind of dancey, fun song, like light feel, you know, and having people kind of understand that right off the top was, that was good. It was like, oh, thank God. Like, they're not like being like, what the hell is this? This isn't reggae, man.
Yeah, it's like you said on Last to Know. It's like, you know, that one was a little risky putting on the self-titled, but then for Live from Paradise tour, it's like that ended up being, you know, the one you put the guitar down and kind of like cut loose, yeah, and ended up being a really fun live song.
Changed the dynamic live, and I think it prepped people to for a song like Fancy, where now they kind of get it. You know, it's like, it's we're expanding. It takes, like, the first one is like the expander, and then the second one's like, you know, you can kind of, people kind of get, are more accepting of it.
Well, Adam was telling me that he was purchasing some roller skates for the music video. He's ready to roll.
No. Roller blades, dude. Roller blades.
They're back, bro.
They are back.
Well, they just shut down California again, so it's just in time for quarantine round two. Stay at home challenge.
That's right.
Let's get it cracking.
Yeah, the girls were all like really pushing for, you know, maybe like a little TikTok vibe going on with maybe some fancy stuff, kind of like what Boog was doing with Siva Mai.
Marina hasn't been in my ear about Fancy since like February. She's like, you got to put that out. And it's like, going back to what we were saying, is it may not be the smartest one to put out first out of a new album, because a lot of people might just assume like, oh, they're going full pop or they're going way away from reggae. So it's like, you got to make sure the context is there to put that song out, I think. But now I think now that they're all out there, we should be doing cool stuff with all of them, you know?
Do we have any more challenges that are in the works?
Yeah, I mean, if you're down for TikTok, I would recommend everybody do a TikTok. But it's like, you know, China,
yeah,
taking your info, so
data and all.
I still have it on my phone. I mean, it's like, what, you can have whatever pictures of, like, you know, dirty diapers and shit. Go for it. I don't care.
Dirty diaper pics. Crush TikTok search engine disabling mega company.
Can you pay off my credit card? Thanks. They just do positive things. They like come into your, they just come into your phone and like invade your privacy, but then they like pay your credit card bill for you or something. You're like,
pretty.
It's not a bad payoff, to be honest. I'll trade that.
Well, thanks, boys, for joining, and congrats on the new album. And thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Irations The Uplifter. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your preferred podcast platform is. We hope you all stay safe out there. Go check out the new album. It is out right now. And remember, when the news gets you down, you can always tune into The Uplifter.
Uplifter.
Mahalo.
Lift.
Woo! Woo! Mm.
I used to waking up alone, darkness all around me. I used to picking up the phone when I wanna hear your voice. I used to being by myself with people all around me, but I got used to being in my zone. Learned how to block out the noise. Now that day we got circled on the calendar. It's finally come around, and I just can't wait till I get back to ya. I'll see you when I touch down.
Can't wait till I get home tonight. It's been so long since I can hold you tight. It's just you and I, making up for lost time.
Whatever you want, you can have it. You just gotta
reach out and grab it. Yeah, that's how it's gonna be when it's just you and me. Close my eyes, that's all I see. It's just you and I making up for lost time. I would do overnight, and now I'm ready to go overtime. It's just